It's been a real blessing to be here this day, and I thank the Lord for allowing us to be able to gather and to get into the Word. Amen. By the way, that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's all about the Word. Amen. That's what the gatherings are all about. Romans, if you would, chapter number 8. We're going to finish up what we've been talking about. We've been looking at the Holy Spirit as in just different ways through the Bible. Obviously, we have not exhausted the topic of the Holy Spirit, and my prayer is that as we, as believers, read the Bible on a daily basis, that we'll learn more and more, amen, about Him, and that we'll also lean more and more in His direction to do His will. Where's Brother Harry, Brother Bob? You were talking about the two verses. I've had thoughts about them, too. And the two verses being the verse in Chronicles 16:9, where the eyes of the Lord go to and fro, and then also in 1 Peter, where the devil goes to and fro. The devil's looking to devour, and God is looking to empower. And that's the two-point sermon. So jot that down. Re-preach it next week. And that's the truth. The Lord's looking for the whole heart, the hearted. A perfect heart doesn't mean you're sinless. It means you're whole. The word perfect is whole. Somebody who's got a heart for God, that's what God's looking for. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to have a heart. And that's what gets His attention. There's a man right there that's got a heart for me, and God will empower you to live for Him. But I believe the devil's looking for somebody who's got that heart that's leaning in the wrong direction. And he picks up on things, amen? And so we got to be real careful, amen? Both of them, it's a matter of, it's a tug of war. It's a tug of war for our lives, isn't it? You got the devil's trying to pull us one way, and you got God's trying to pull us another way. And by the way, you and I, the way we lean, we can either help the devil in his endeavor, or we can help God in his endeavor by the way we lean, right? And we lean the devil's way, we're going in the mud. Can I get a witness on that one? That's the truth, isn't it? But I want to talk about Romans chapter number 8, or we're going to begin in a moment in Romans chapter number 8. Again, thank you for your patience today as we are going through the whole topic here. Just a crash course on many different thoughts about the Holy Spirit. As you well know, in Sunday school, we focused on the fact that the Holy Spirit in the Bible is seen as the creator of the world. He's also seen, as we talked in Sunday school, that the Holy Spirit's the contender of the flesh. He's also the composer of the Bible, amen. He's the convictor of the sinner, we talked about in the morning service. And He's working on sinners' hearts, and He wants to work through us, amen, on the hearts of sinners. I'll tell you, there's a text in the Bible, Genesis chapter 24. We obviously don't have time to get into it tonight, but the whole chapter is a great picture of what the Holy Spirit is doing in this particular time period, this dispensation. It's amazing how back in Genesis 24, we can get an illustration, an example, and a picture of what the Holy Spirit is actually doing. Because in the book of Genesis chapter 24, we have Abraham the father, who pictures God the father. We have him sending out the head servant of his household, the man that was in charge of all of his household. And this servant is not named. And Abraham, the father, picturing God the father, sends out the servant, if you will, to go back to where Abraham came from and to get a bride for Abraham's son, Isaac, who pictures Jesus Christ. So when you read Genesis chapter 24, picturing Abraham is like God the Father sending the servant to go back to Mesopotamia to get a bride for his son Isaac. And the bride is the church. And it's a wonder. I'll tell you, read that chapter with those in mind, and you'll just see some wonderful things. And here's the thing. The whole key about the servant is a picture of the Holy Spirit. He's not named. We can imply who He is, but He's not named. Why? The Holy Spirit is doing an invisible work. He's magnifying the Lord Jesus. He's honoring and lifting up the Lord Jesus. He's not into lifting Himself up. As we mentioned earlier, God help many, many churches get it wrong, and they're magnifying the Holy Spirit. And that's not what God's trying to do. Amen? The Holy Spirit magnifies and lifts up Jesus. And so you get a chance, maybe you can read that chapter sometime. But we looked at this morning, the Holy Spirit is the creator of the world. He's the contender of the flesh. He's the composer of the Bible. He's the convictor of the sinner. He's working to win lost sinners to Himself, and He wants to work through you and me. In fact, that's one of the reasons we need to be filled with the Spirit when we're trying to witness to people. Because the Word of God we share, and if we're filled with the Spirit, I think we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us on the lives of those that we're working with. He's the convictor of the sinner, but He's also the converter of the sinner. The whole purpose of Him convicting the sinner is that He might convert them, amen, and get them saved. And when He gets them saved, He begins a wonderful work in their lives and in their hearts. But tonight I want to focus on the last point, number 6, and that point is this. We see the Holy Spirit as the comforter of the saint. The comforter of the saint. You know how many people like that? So I love that song. The comforter has come. The comforter has come. One of the Holy Spirit's main name and ministry to you and I that are already saved is He is the comforter. Amen? And that's exactly what I want to focus on tonight. In fact, you are in Romans chapter number 8, but while you're there, just give me a moment, because what I want to do is I want to mention a few verses. I think I touched on quite a few of them this morning, but you just stay in Romans 8 and bear with me. And let me just mention some of the verses that the Lord Jesus spoke of. In John 14:16, Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall send you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." You see, Jesus said, "I got to go," to the disciples. He said, "But I'm going to pray to the Father that He's going to send you another Comforter." That emphasis of another Comforter is this: somebody who's of the same kind. You see, Jesus was the Comforter for those people at that time while He was physically there. But He said, "I got to leave, but we're not going to leave you orphaned. The Holy Spirit's going to come, and He's going to be for you the Comforter that you need." Amen? That's what Jesus said. And He also said in John 14:26, I'll just read this, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things," and so on. John 15:26, I'll read that. He says in John 15:26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me." And then in John 16:7, the Bible says, "Nevertheless," Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, it is expedient," which means it's good for you, "that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." All of these, by the way, the very context of these verses, this is some of the last things that Jesus is saying to His disciples. He's on His way to Calvary. And He's encouraging those disciples that had been with Him. He knows He's going to be crucified. He's going to be buried. He's going to rise again. He's going to ascend. He's going to be leaving them, but He wants to constantly let them know, "You're not going to be alone. I'm not going to leave you in this world by yourself. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you the Comforter." What is the Comforter? The word Comforter comes from the word Parakletos. And basically what it means is this: one who comes alongside to help you, to aid you, to encourage you. The Lord knows we can't be left in this world alone. We cannot live the kind of life He wants us to live by ourselves. Amen? He said, "I'm going to make sure you have the Spirit. He is to you the help you need to get through this life." In fact, I have you in Romans chapter number 8 because there's a statement about the Holy Spirit. I just wanted you to see it because it doesn't use the word comforter, but it spells out the ministry of the Holy Spirit to you and I that are saved. Look at Romans chapter 8, please, and look at verse number 26. Just the first part of verse number 26. "Likewise," and by the way, I cannot get into the context of everything that everywhere we go. But Romans chapter 8, Paul deals with the burden we have as Christians in this flesh and in this world. Amen? And he talks about the body. He talks about creation groaning, waiting for the redemption, waiting for the Lord to come back. Amen? That's the context of what Paul talks about. You and I that are saved, if we're trying to live for God, we understand how tough it can be. How hard it can be, amen? And so we're just crying out, if you will, waiting for the Lord to return and to straighten things out and to help us out, amen? In fact, He will literally help us out, amen? But He says in the context,
By the way, until the redemption of the body and until the restoration of creation, until the Lord straightens it all out, we're here and we're hurting. But here's what he says, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also, here it is, helpeth our infirmities. By the way, every one of us have infirmities. We are weak, but he is strong. Amen? You and I that are saved, we have the Holy Spirit of God living in our bodies. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? We have the Holy Spirit of God in us. He's there to help us. To help us to make it through this life, because we cannot do it alone. I want to ask a question, and then I want to answer the question tonight as we close up this meeting. How does the Holy Spirit help us? That's fair enough, right? If Jesus gave us the Comforter, if Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit, if Jesus gave us help, how is it that the Holy Spirit helps us? And I want to give you 3 points tonight that refer to how the Holy Spirit helps us. I don't claim that this is exhaustive and this is the only thing the Holy Spirit does, you understand? But there's 3 major things the Holy Spirit does to help you and I to get through this life until the Lord comes. Amen? A, if you take notes, you want to jot this down. If not, jot it down in your head. Amen? The Holy Spirit, one of the ways he helps us, he enlightens us. The Holy Spirit enlightens us. We have the Holy Spirit of God, and one of his ministries, he is the illuminator. We have the Holy Spirit and we have the Bible. And what we do is we open up the Bible as Christians and we go to look into it, but what we do is we pray to God. We open the book to do our part, what we physically can do. We can get into it, we can read it, we can study. Is that correct? And then we pray that God, by his Spirit, will open our eyes to see and to understand. You remember the psalmist who prayed in Psalm 119, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And I'm going to tell you something too, as our sister was giving testimony, I don't know the whole story. You know, we read the Bible, and we're looking for the Lord to speak to us, no doubt about it. But then there are times when we go through a situation where when we read the Bible, we just read a little bit more differently. You understand that? That's one of the reasons. By the way, when you read the Word of God and you're in a situation, sometimes there's a word that just opens up. You read it before. You saw it before. But it didn't mean as much as it meant now because of the infirmity or the situation I'm going through. Amen? That's why we have to do what John 8:31 says. Continue in my word, Jesus said. If you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You read one text one day, you read the same text at a different day, at a different situation in your life, a different period in your life, it just can have a whole lot more meaning to it. Amen? The Holy Spirit of God is the illuminator. He opens our eyes to see and understand. Listen. One of the things that you and I need to get through this life is we need a word from the Lord. Sometimes that's all we need. Amen? Now, by the way, I'll just throw this out there. I think that one of the greatest examples is Paul the Apostle. If you study the life of Paul, the ministry of Paul, the missions of Paul, a lot of times Paul would go into certain places. And in fact, when he went to Corinth, Corinth was Sin City. It was the missionary going to Las Vegas. I mean, he's probably working, and it almost probably seems like there's a lot of opposition. By the way, you go to Sin City, I'm sure there's a lot of demons just live in that area. Can I get a witness on that one? And you go to work in certain areas. By the way, city of Philadelphia, inner city of Philadelphia is a concrete jungle. And I don't doubt there's a concentration of demonic activity. But you go into certain areas and you're probably going to have a harder time, a greater opposite. And I believe Paul the Apostle, several times as he was in certain situations, I think sometimes he was about ready to pull out. And I think of Corinth and I think of his situation and I think of this. At midnight, the angel of the Lord stood by him. The Lord stood by him and said, "Paul, don't quit." You keep on keeping on. Nobody's going to hurt you. I have much people in this city. And then Paul goes back in there and he stays for about a year and a half. One of the longest places he stays. He don't often stay as long, only maybe Ephesus. But what I'm saying, do you know what the Lord, you know what Paul said? Paul said, I was standing before my defense. Everybody forsook me. All my friends forsook me. Nobody was standing with. He said this, but the Lord stood with me, stood by me. And here's what he said. He strengthened me, that by me the preaching might continue. Many times Paul was in a difficult situation and the Lord stood by him. And it's often referred to at night or at midnight. A dark day, a dark time. But the Lord stood by him. And the Lord strengthened him. It strengthened him to keep on keeping on. Watch this. I used to envision Paul in those difficult times. Nobody standing with him and standing by him to encourage him and to help him on. And I used to think about the Lord standing by him. And I used to have a vision of the Lord touching him and giving him some kind of supernatural strength to keep on keeping on. But that vision is unbiblical to me. It's unbiblical to me. Because you know what I think the Lord did when he stood by Paul in those dark days? I think it was what he said to Paul that gave Paul the courage and the strength to keep on keeping on. You remember when Paul was on the ship and they were getting ready to be shipwrecked and this waves were raging and the Lord, Paul came out and he said, listen, the Lord stood by me this night and he told me we're going to save everybody. Stay on the ship. He said, listen, I believe God. You say, what happened? Paul was in dark situation and the Lord spoke to him and the Lord gave him a word that gave him the courage and the strength to keep on keeping on. When you read the book of Job, you know what Job went through. I don't know much about Job's turkey, but you know what Job went through. Do you know what the critics said about Job? They said Job in his heyday was somebody whose words upheld many. Many people had knees that were weak and wobbling, and his words would uphold many. You know what he's saying? Job was a man who would share words with people, words of encouragement and strength that would keep them going on. Let me tell you who's whispering in our ear all the time. You got the devil, you got the world, and you got carnal Christians sometimes. Whispering in your ear, it ain't going to happen, brother. It can't happen, brother. You might as well forget about it. Do you understand that? And then we got our own selves to contend with. When you, listen, discouraging words, you know what it does? It depletes you. It depletes you. When you are spiritually discouraged on the inside, you're weak on the outside physically. But there are times when encouraging words lift up your spirit, give you the strength and the courage to keep on keeping on. You and I, as we go through this Christian life, we struggle often, but if we're in the Word, the Holy Spirit of God can use the Word of God to give us the word we need to keep on keeping on. Proverbs says, the heaviness in the heart maketh man stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Amen? The Word of God, by the Spirit of God in our hearts, can give us the strength and the courage we need to keep on keeping on. There's a man in the Bible whose name would parallel the Holy Spirit. He was the Son of Consolation. Amen? Anybody know who I'm talking about? Not Judas. No. Barnabas. Barnabas, the son of consolation, an exhorter, somebody who encouraged people to keep on keeping on. It was Barnabas who, when the disciples said, we want nothing to do with Paul or Saul at that time, we don't want nothing. It was Barnabas who brought Paul in and encouraged him, bring them together, and look what happened to Paul. And I remember Paul and Barnabas fighting over Timothy. Over John Mark. John Mark was Barnabas' nephew. But for some reason, he quit. He left. Paul got mad. Paul got upset. But what happened? He was taken by Barnabas, and he was encouraged by Barnabas. And we find Paul at the end of his life saying, bring Mark. He's profitable for me for the ministry. The Holy Spirit is an exhorter. He's an encourager. He wants to use the Word of God to speak to our hearts and tell us you can do the right thing. Amen? And really help us. That's what he's there for. By the way, let me just say this. The Holy Spirit enlightens us concerning two things. God's Word and God's will. God's Word and God's will. In 1 Corinthians 2, 12 to 14, the Bible says you can't understand the Word of God without the Holy Spirit of God. The natural man, the unsaved man that doesn't have the Spirit of God, to him this book is foolishness. But you and I that are saved and have the Holy Spirit, we can discern the things that the Spirit has for us. Amen? Through this book. In fact, the Bible says in reference to the Holy Spirit in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 20, that we have an unction. And that's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In fact, in 1 John 2:27, that we have an anointing. We don't need a man to teach us. We have an anointing from God, and that's the Holy Spirit. There were people, by the way, the Word of God wasn't complete. And by the way, you got to be very careful when you take that verse and say, well, I don't need somebody to tell me and share with me the Bible. That's not what the context is. The Bible wasn't complete yet. People were standing up saying they were speaking by the Holy Spirit. And they were saying things that was contrary to what the apostles were saying. In fact, in 1 John, the whole context is this. There were false teachers standing up saying, Jesus is not God in the flesh. These are the spirit of what? Antichrist. Try the spirits to make sure they're from God. But you have a spirit that you can understand the truth about Jesus. Amen? In the very context, greater is he that is in you, the Holy Spirit, than he that is in the world, the false spirits. Amen? You and I have the Holy Spirit of God who can teach us and speak to us and open our eyes to see and understand the Word of God to the point it helps us. Amen? You know, it's one thing to get in this book and understand it to have a big head. We don't need that. We need to get into this book and understand it so we can have bigger hearts for the Lord. Amen? And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But not only does the Holy Spirit enlighten us concerning the Word of God, he enlightens us concerning the will of God. Amen? And by the way, let me quote a verse for you. Listen to this verse, Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit of God wants to open our eyes to see the general will of God in the Word. But the Holy Spirit of God can also lead our hearts and lead our lives for the specific will of God, which is not found in the Bible. Amen? You know, it's one thing to understand when you're young and you're going to get married and you're about ready to get married, you're of that age perhaps. It's one thing to have the Spirit of God open your eyes to the truth that you ought not to get unequally yoked, but you ought to marry somebody that's in the Lord. Amen? That's a general statement. Is that correct? The Holy Spirit, can you open your eyes through the Word of God to give you a general statement? If you're going to get married, make sure they're saved. That's wonderful, and I thank the Holy Spirit for allowing me to see that and understand that, but I need the Holy Spirit to help me to find the right one. Because her name or his name is not simply spelled out in the book. Can I get a witness on that one? To get his general will out of that book is wonderful, but I need his specific will. I need to be led of the Spirit to the right person. Amen. God knows. Amen. Those that are married, understand, you better have the right one, amen? Because marriage is not easy. But when you know you're with the right one, you go through whatever you go through, amen? When it comes to the will of God, oh, how we need the Spirit of God to move our hearts and to lead us, amen? In fact, let me quote a verse for you. Ephesians 5:17, here's what it says. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That's a good verse, isn't it? Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's 5:17, Ephesians 5:17. Do you know what 5:18 says? Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's amazing how knowing the will of God in verse 17 and being filled with the Spirit of God in verse 18 go together. Amen? You get drunk, you're definitely probably going to marry the wrong woman. Amen? You get filled with the Spirit, you'll be marrying the right woman. And by the way, now, by the way, that's the truth, sad to say. Well, I know a brother of mine back in the city who got away from the Lord. He married the wrong person. He got right with God. And man, there's been nothing but trouble ever since with four children. Amen. It's very important that you allow the Holy Spirit to use the Word to show you His will and allow Him to work in your heart to show His will. Amen. By the way, here's a great example of the Spirit of God leading to the right thing. Do you remember when Philip, the evangelist, was in Acts chapter 8 in Samaria? He was preaching the Word, a great revival. You remember that great revival broke out? Joy was in the city. People were getting saved. And you know what God said to him when he was preaching and there was a great revival going on? God said, go down to the desert of Gaza. Let me tell you something. God will sometimes do things that don't make no sense. I got a great revival going on. Matter of fact, Philip was the one that brought, I got a great revival going on. It don't make no sense for me to leave this revival and to go down to nowhere. But he did what God said, right? He went down to Gaza, desert place. And when he got there, I'm sure he just twiddled his thumb like, okay, what do I do now? And you know what happened, right? You remember that Ethiopian eunuch? You remember him leaving Jerusalem from the worship center, from the worshiping, but he was still hungry because he wasn't satisfied with that religion? And he was searching the Scripture. And you remember that? God was moving this man to meet with that man who would meet with a nation, let alone a city. And when Philip got down there, here's what the Spirit said. In Acts 8:29, the Spirit said, Philip, join yourself to this chariot. I would to God I had his leading to know what chariot to link myself with. Amen. You see, why would the Holy Spirit link him to that chariot? Because in that chariot was a man that was looking and hungry for the Word of God and looking for salvation. When we go out door knocking, when we go out trying to share the gospel, we got to be very careful. You know, there have been people that have wasted your time. They're lonely. They have nobody. And they just want to talk. They want nothing to do with the Lord. And you could spend 2 hours and come back. Can I get a witness on that one? You got to say, Lord, help me. Give me wisdom. Give me discernment to know if this is what's going on. Or help me to find the right door, the right person. See, the Holy Spirit of God, He enlightens us concerning the Word of God, but He enlightens us concerning the will of God. I want that. I need that. And by the way, let me throw this out there. Not only does the Holy Spirit tell us in our hearts, yes, go in that direction. Yes, go in that direction. Sometimes He'll say, no, don't go in that direction. We find that, by the way, in Acts chapter number 16. You remember Paul the Apostle? He said, I'm going to go this way and preach the gospel. And the Holy Spirit said, no. And then they said, okay, I'm going to go this way and preach the gospel. And the Holy Spirit said, no. And the Holy Spirit was telling him, no, no. Don't. By the way, it doesn't sound like it makes any sense, does it? But then all of a sudden, because the Holy Spirit directed him not to do this. And by the way, he didn't have to say, don't go here because I want this to happen. He just said, don't go here. And while he was not going there, because the Lord said that, there was a vision he had. A man from Macedonia said, come over and help us. So he figured out the Spirit of God said no to this because he's saying yes to this. Oh, that we might be sensitive. Amen. And submissive to his will. The Holy Spirit is with us to enlighten us concerning the Word of God and the will of God. And by the way, let me throw this out there. I've got a lot to throw out there, don't I? He doesn't just enlighten individuals. He enlightens churches. When Jesus spoke to the seven churches of Asia Minor in Revelation 2 and 3, do you know what he added at the end of every one of those messages to those churches? He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen? It's one thing to hear what the preacher's saying. But you got to have the right kind of ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to you, to me. Amen? The Holy Spirit is our helper. He wants to take the Word of God, speak to our hearts, encourage us, strengthen us to keep on keeping on. Showing us what to do. Showing us what not to do. But not only is the Holy Spirit helping us by enlightening us. But let me give you a second thought. The Holy Spirit doesn't only enlighten us concerning God's Word and will. He enables us. What He wants us to do, He will empower us to do it. God never tells us to do something we can't do. That would be too frustrating. Now, there are times we don't think we can do what he wants us to do. You can talk to Moses about that. Amen? Can I get a witness? There are times we just don't think we have it because we're evaluating what he wants us to do based on what we have, minus the Lord. Amen? His commands are his enablement. The Holy Spirit enables us. We quoted it earlier, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Romans 8:13, listen, we through the Spirit, the Bible says, can mortify, put to death the deeds of the body. How can I go through this life and live the Christian life in a sinful flesh, in a sinful world? I got to be able to do it by the power of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit can strengthen me, empower me, enable me to overcome me. Amen? Can I get an amen on that one? He's the key, isn't he? I want you to turn with me for a moment to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 1. I'm coming down, just bear with me. I'm like the airplane just circling, looking for that place to land. Amen? Ephesians chapter number 1. I thank God we have the Holy Spirit to help us. Amen? We have not been left alone in this world. Amen? Jesus had to leave, but he sent the Holy Spirit, which we all can have. Amen? And those of us that are saved, we have him, and he's there to help us. By the way, he's the power to fruitfulness, isn't he? You and I can have the fruit of the Spirit because of him. Amen? I want you to note something. Ephesians chapter number 1. Let me give you this thought here, if you would. In the book of Ephesians, there's two prayers. Paul prayed two different prayers in this book for these people. And the first prayer is found in chapter number 1. And the essence of his prayer for the Ephesian believers, the essence of his prayer is a prayer of enlightenment. Let me tell you what Paul wanted the Ephesian people to understand. How rich they were in Christ. I'm just telling you, folks. Paul wanted the Ephesian believers to understand the riches that they had in Christ Jesus. And the key part of his prayer, by the way, his prayer goes from verse 15 to 23, which I'm not going to do. Let me give you the crux of it, verses 17 to 19. Let's look at the Spirit in reference to illumination, enlightenment. Ephesians 1, look at verse number 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. What he says in here is he talks about the Spirit and enlightening them and opening their eyes and helping them to see. And that's exactly what we're talking about. The Holy Spirit can open our eyes to see we're richer than we think we are. You remember what the Lord said to one of the churches in Revelation? You think you're rich, but really you're poor. The other church, he said, you think you're poor, you're really rich. And there's a lot of times we don't think we're as rich as we are. But by the Spirit of God, our eyes can be opened to see and understand what we need to. Listen, the first part, the first prayer in the book of Ephesians is chapter number 1. And Paul's praying by that the Spirit of God would enlighten them. But the second prayer is found in chapter number 3. And I want you to look with me for a moment. By the way, if you break down the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and 2 are doctrinal. They're basic teachings. No wonder why he would pray for them to get a grip of it and understand it. Amen? But in chapter 3 and 4, that's practical. What am I to do when I get an understanding of God's will? Do it. Practical. And here's what his prayer is for them. Not only did he pray for the Spirit to enlighten them doctrinally, but he prayed in verse chapter 3, beginning in verse 14 to 21, which I'm not going to read the whole prayer. Two verses I want to read. I want to read verse 16, and I want to read verse number 20. Look at the crux of his prayer in chapter number 3, verse number 16, that he would grant unto you, according to the riches of his glory, get this, to be what? strengthened with might by what? By His Spirit, where? In the inner man. Look at verse number 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh what? In us. I don't know if you get it. But in Ephesians chapter 1, he's saying, I'm praying for the Spirit to open your eyes to see and understand how rich you are. But I'm also praying that the Spirit of God will strengthen you on the inside that you might live the kind of life He wants you to live. It's the Holy Spirit that does both of those things. Show us, Lord, but also enable us to live the way we ought to live. He's the Comforter. He's helping us by enlightening us. He's helping us by enabling us. And finally, let me give you the last thought and I'm quitting. The Holy Spirit not only enlightens us, He not only encourages us, but He assures us. He's with us, in us, to assure us. To assure us of what? Number one, to assure us that we're His, that we're saved. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God in our hearts assures us that we're saved. Listen to these verses, Romans 8, 14, or 8, 15 and 16. You have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit of God in us can speak to us and assure us that we are saved. Amen? In fact, Galatians 4, 6 says this, and because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. What does that mean? We know we have a relationship with God. He's our Papa. He's our Daddy. The Spirit of God in us assures us that we're saved. You know who doesn't have the assurance of their salvation? The people that quench the Spirit and the people that grieve the Spirit. Can I get a witness on that one? You quench and grieve the Spirit when you live in such a way that you know you ought not to be living that way. Can I get a witness? I often say when it comes to the assurance of salvation, get this if you would, when it comes to the assurance of salvation, ready? The proof is in the pudding. Now, I didn't say pudding. I said putting. When you put off the old man and you put on the new man, you can see you're saved. Amen. When you can say, you know what? I can't believe I didn't say something or do something. That's not me. You can say to yourself, you know what? Man, the Lord must be really doing something in my life. Amen. Seriously. By the way, sometimes we say when we see people, man, they're different than they used to be. Man, they must be saved. Don't you think you tell yourself the same thing? You say, wow, man, normally I would. Man, I must, wow. God uses, the Spirit of God uses that to encourage your heart. Amen? The Holy Spirit assures us that we're saved. And then one more thing, and I promise you I'm quitting. The Holy Spirit assures us, get this, we're saved forever. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't just assure you you're saved, and that's it. He's the assurance you're saved forever. I can't do it, but in one of those verses in John where Jesus said, I'm going to send another comforter, here's what he says, and he's going to abide with you forever. Forever. You see, the Bible says, Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, get this, whereby you are sealed. That word sealed has something to do with preservation and protection, a sign of ownership. You're sealed until the day of redemption. You say, what day is that? That's the day Jesus picks me up. Amen. Do you know the Bible calls the Holy Spirit your earnest or your down payment? Earnest. When you think of the word earnest, it means you really mean business. In fact, if you see a house you want to buy, they'll say, do you have a down payment? Years ago, they would call it an earnest. show us how earnest you really are about this house and buying this house. And usually you whip out some money or something valuable and you say, let me show you how much I mean about I want this house. And you'd give them an earnest, you give them a down payment, and they would say, okay, we understand you mean business. The day you got saved and I got saved, the Lord said, I'm going to give a down payment to you. And that down payment is the Holy Spirit of God. He's the earnest. He's the dowry. He's the down payment. I'm marrying you. In the Jewish custom, a man would say, I want to marry this woman. And he would give that woman a down payment, a dowry. And that was assurance and guarantee. He said, listen, I'm coming back for you. Hold on to this. This is the blessed assurance. Where am I going? I'm going to add to my Father's house. So when I come back, we got a place to stay. Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come back again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Here's the Holy Spirit. I'm going to prepare. I'll be back for you, guaranteed. Guaranteed. Saved and saved forever. Amen? I get all excited. I got to stop this. Richard Simmons sweats to the oldies. I sweat to the old paths. One thing we got to all keep in mind. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We can do three things. One of three things. We can hurt Him. I mentioned earlier Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Spirit of God. To grieve is to inflict sorrow on somebody. Somebody said this, you can only really grieve a friend. An enemy will only hate you when you do them wrong. But a friend will be hurt by you. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. Or we can quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench the Holy Spirit. When you think of quenching something, you think about putting out a fire. One of the symbols of the Holy Spirit is fire, is that correct? Do you know what the fire wants to do? He wants to make us burnt sacrifices. You know what a burnt sacrifice in the Scripture is? It's a sacrifice that's totally consumed, totally burnt up for the Lord. We get saved, we catch fire, and sometimes we want to put the fire out and quench the fire. Stop it from doing it. Fire is never satisfied. Once it starts, it wants to spread. It wants to take everything over. And there are times, boy, we get saved, we get excited, and God starts to take over, people start to say things, or this starts, that starts, and so sometimes we start to do wrong, and all of a sudden we're starting to put the fire out. Amen? We can either hurt Him, we can hinder Him, or I say this, we can help Him. I almost hate to say that, but we can help the Holy Spirit. How do you help Him? Allow Him to control you. That song tonight, that was a great song. Was that already on the schedule, or was that something the Lord, about the Holy Spirit, about revival? That's, if you listen to that song, it's all about the Spirit, letting the Spirit take over, obeying, submitting. By the way, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. You know what the thought of being filled with something is? Being controlled by. When somebody's filled with anger, we say, they're filled with anger. That means they're controlled by anger. But when you're filled with the Spirit, it means you're controlled by the Spirit. We got to let them fill us. And by the way, Ephesians 5:18 is not just a one-time filling up with the Spirit. I wish that was the case. D.L. Moody said we got to constantly get filled with the Spirit because all of our buckets have holes. Can I get a witness on that one? And that's the truth, isn't it? May God help us. Not to hinder Him, not to hurt Him, but to help Him. Give Him control. Let Him have His way with thee. Amen. That's what I need to do. That's what we all need to do. Amen. Well, thank You for Your attentiveness tonight. Would you bow with me tonight for prayer? Father, thank You for Your Word tonight. Oh, thank You for Your Word all day long. Thanks just for allowing us to have a concentrated effort Just to focus on the Holy Spirit, on this book. I know this church is praying and this church is looking and this church is preparing for revival. And I think of that song, oh Holy Ghost, revival comes from Thee. Bring a revival, start Your work in me.
Oh, may the Spirit of God do a work in our hearts individually and then collectively, that the fire of God might do something to ignite and excite us for the things of the Lord. As Brother Bob comes to close up this meeting, I pray you'll lead, guide, and direct as you will.